Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to the Pride of Detroit PODcast, prideofdetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. It is the most wonderful time of the year. You may think it's the dead season, folks, of the NFL calendar. No, absolutely not. Why? It's listcast season. It's back, baby. The L is back. It's good again. It's not just for hats. It's for us here on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. It's listcast. If you know, don't know what listcast is, stay tuned. It is us doing top 10 podcast radio, sports radio brought to you in podcast format. It's annoying as it sounds, but it's also fantastic. It is us being self-indulgent. It's everything we want to do in the middle of June on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. As always, I am your adequate host, Christopher Fett, at Christopher Fett on Twitter. Very charged up about this. Finally, I don't have to think about rosters right now. I don't have to think about guys who are pecking at the third or fourth spot on a depth chart. I get to think about hot takes and idiocy. Whereas, however, the man who is my eternal partner here, by law.
We get married?
I think we did. Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online, who likes this season, but also I think is the complete opposite of me. We're getting away from what he likes best, which is like rosters and names and little camp battles. And he's getting into my territory. He's the beat writer. I'm the sports radio guy.
Yes and no, because there is part of me that's like, I don't love top 10 lists because I think sometimes it makes us have petty arguments. But at the same time, I am so glad to have just a moment to catch my breath a little bit because of the crazy offseason the Lions had. Now we can goof off for a couple weeks, and I'm totally fine with that.
We do have some Lions talk coming before we get into our list cast. And I will say, though, Jeremy, it is annoying, but it's not as annoying as goat talk.
Yeah, true.
Which Madden coming out today with like a video of goats. It's like, oh, Christ, here we go again. Again, Jordan has poisoned everything. And now let's go live to our goat expert, the big man himself, Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan_POD. Ryan, who is the goat of the NFL?
I don't know why, but you said I was the goat expert, and the thing that I immediately jumped to is Robert De Niro asking Ben Stiller, you know,
the men who stare at goats. I forgot about that movie.
No. I was thinking, I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? And I know it was about a cat, but.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Whoa, you just got goat nipples on the mind. That's all.
We just started the scraps. This is Scraps Talk, but it's live on a POD cast.
This is what happens when there's no news.
That's
scraps
why
become the main course.
They're no longer side dishes.
Thank you. Yeah, today is all side dishes. It's all egg rolls and crab rangoons and
not mozzarella
and short ribs. No mozzarella sticks, no. But no, we're at a Chinese buffet, Jeremy. Not
crab legs, baby.
Crab rangoons, things of that nature. Mm. So, by the way, thank you all who have given good feedback on the scraps. It seems to be a hit. Those will continue. Although, again, we're already off the rails on this one. Jeremy, though, before we begin, I like being off the rails. You know that. Before we begin our list cast in about like 8 minutes or so, I do want to talk a little bit. Jeremy, you streamed it last night, the new episode of Inside the Den, which shows you where we're going to find Lions news right now. We were doing camp, we were doing mini camp, we were doing OTAs, and then just we ground to a halt, and suddenly Jeremy's like, ooh, the new episode of Inside the Den is out.
Well, listen, Inside the Den is an impressive series. It always has been. It gave us, I mean, back in the day, it was our version of Hard Knocks. And sure, it's you know, the corporate media version where we're getting all the positive stuff. But this is what we've been asking for a really long time, and what's kind of become the new exciting things for team media departments. And that's behind the scenes draft footage. And I love behind the scenes draft footage. It's amazing. I said it last night. One of my favorite things that I wish, like, if I could pick out a story to do, it would be spend a weekend in a war room, because that has to be just a fascinating thing that we're not normally privy to. And the Lions released their version of that. You know, the Colts had a good version. There were other teams that did it well. The Panthers had a good one, I believe. But this is the most inside access we've ever gotten inside the Lions war room. And it was fun. I mean, we've spent all offseason talking about how fun Dan Campbell was, but he was even more fun. Like, even with, you know, with people not necessarily watching, you know, he's telling the camera, or he's watching the TV, and he's going, Elefano, stay. And I don't know. It was just, it's fun to see him be himself. And it's just more confirmation that what we're seeing in front of that podium is who he is.
So
he's,
it's
just
funny,
a big goofball.
Because I'm on the opposite fence, is that, you know, I love the draft time, but rather than being in the war room, I want to be in the homes of these players.
Sure.
And they got to show too. Some of that. Well, yeah. And that's what I was going to say. We got to see Penei Sewell break down, and we got to see, who was it? Was it Amon-Ra St. Brown with the little phone video, just with all everyone hanging around? Just,
and he got a call from Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was weird.
LA
cool.
baby. LA yeah. baby. Like, yeah, no, but that's the cool magic of the draft season. And yeah, it is, as I've heard another person refer to this kind of stuff, state sponsored NFL media. But we like these looks inside. It gives us good memes, and hopefully this one lasts longer than the baseball bat.
Well, yeah, if you want something to replace the baseball bat, it's the phrase, we're going to bring you in to compete. And also, trust the process. Like, we trusted our process. Our process. Like, it just, I mean, it was on a loop. And then every phone call from Dan Campbell was, we're going to bring you in to compete, brother. And that fires me up, man. like the thing about watching the video that stood out immediately, as, you know, Jeremy kind of already alluded to, the Lions drafted 6 Pro Bowlers and Jamar Jefferson.
Oh, poor Jamar.
They just didn't dedicate the amount of time to Jamar Jefferson that they did to everybody else.
Well, that's because even in the war room, they probably weren't talking about him that much. They were just like sitting around for 150 picks being like, all right, what do we do now? Oh, we're on the clock. Jamar Jefferson. We like that Oregon State guy.
Yeah. Was it Dan Campbell who like,
it's on like auto draft at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. He like leans over after they make the Derek Barnes pick. And he's like, and we got like how many more picks? Or he's like, he says like, we got like 100 more picks until our next.
Yeah.
But
he's really feeling it at that point. He's Roger Goodell air, Mr. Rogering in his chair at that point.
Yeah. And I know, Chris, you just mentioned some things that you'd like to see more, is the kind of like the opposite side and seeing into the living rooms of these players that are getting drafted, which, you know, they showed a little bit, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more myself, because I think they did a pretty thorough job with Penei Sewell. Right. And then obviously it kind of de-escalated with the rest of the picks. But I just want to talk.
Feel
maybe
like a, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say real quick, and I'll let you finish. But like, I, for me, for my journalism and for my like human interest side, that kind of stress, that's where the real stress is on draft night. Those guys, their entire careers up to this point on the line. And like, yeah, Penei Sewell went at 7. He went pretty high, but like, and I don't want to see the pain, just the pain of guys when they fall, but like you can even see it in Penei Sewell, that moment when everything floods over him, like that kind of stuff. And his whole family is there. And just the pressure of like the family, college coaches who are there, everything, that's a pressure cooker. I want to be some short ribs in that instant pot and just feel what that's like.
I think that's a really cool angle to get, you know, some behind the scenes footage on, for sure, because you see Penei Sewell, but at the same time you see Aleem McNeil, who's just kind of like lounging on a couch with a back scratcher, just like waiting for somebody to draft him. So
I liked how they made him do like an interview with the team to be like, oh yeah, like I was excited, I just wasn't showing it just because whatever. They're like, yeah. You have to explain yourself if we're gonna show you being kind of slovenly on the couch.
Yeah. My favorite takeaway though, and that's what I wanted to get around to, was your guys' kind of like favorite takeaway you had, or like favorite part of this, you know, inclusion in inside the den. My personal favorite were the little clips that we got of the pre-draft interviews with like Melifonwu and Derek Barnes. Even some of their undrafted players that they had some conversations with that they showed, even like Hank Fraley talking to Penei Sewell. I thought all of those kind of conversations were pretty cool because it didn't give you a ton, but it gave you some insight into like describe yourself in three words, like as a football player, and like all like some of the draft questions that came along with it too. But yeah, I thought that was cool. And even Aubrey Pleasant talking to Melifonwu, and Melifonwu asking a question to Pleasant of like, what's one thing that would be beneficial to me, like, you know, during this draft process? Yeah.
I was just gonna say really quick, like watching Amon-Ra St. Brown break down his own film is cool. Like that, of course they're doing that sort of stuff, but you never really see it. So just kind of seeing that process, I agree. That was a good addition.
That's all cool. I once like a whole interview with who was it? Was it Onzerike's neighbor who had the Lions jersey ready to go as soon as he went outside?
Draped over the fence. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess my biggest takeaway is that like you really saw we've heard the camaraderie thing from everybody in the building, right? Like everyone's getting along and the working relationships so well and it's all collaborative. You really did see it in that video. And it was interesting to me because Brad Holmes did kind of like a round of interviews yesterday last week with the media. And one of the things he said was the best thing about the job was working alongside Dan Campbell. And that kind of surprised me. I'm like, It sounds like a corporate Fred line, like, wow, the GM and coach are getting along so well. But like those guys were just two guys having a blast in a war room the entire time. And it really I think maybe the time it really displayed itself was when they were doing the UDFAs, when everyone in the room was calling up the UDFAs. And that's interesting to me because I've never really seen that. All these behind the scene war room videos, they don't really show the UDFA process where everyone's got a phone in their hand trying to close deals. And you see Mike Disner closing deals. You see Dorsey closing deals. You see voices that you don't even hear.
Good job. Dis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're all getting pumped for each other and they're all working together. And that's just a cool thing to see. And is it like that everywhere? I mean, probably everyone's doing, you know, giving each other high fives because they got the guy they wanted. And Dan Campbell apparently is doing backflips for Sage Surratt, which is very, very surprising to me. Maybe we'll have to give him more credit when training camp comes around. But I think the UDFA part was the most interesting for me.
Yeah. And again, like I think, again, we have to rebound on this. This is at Lions themselves present this. They get to control the message on that. And that's something you see more and more across the NFL where teams are more and more controlling their own messages. So it's cool. It's very cool. And we get to eat it up here. But it's also like just a bit of caution in case it comes down the pike and suddenly things aren't as rosy. But I mean, for right now, I mean, but to Jeremy's point, you hear it everywhere about the Lions right now that everyone that is just such a culture change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But speaking of that culture change, I think why all of us kind of ate this up like it was a Ritz cracker when in reality it was like a saltine was because we've been starving for something like this for how long?
God, we got past minicamp and there's nothing.
Well, and there was like 6 years of no behind the scenes stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Could you ever imagine the last regime putting out a video like this?
No, not at all. I mean, they tried, but it was even more, you know,
filtered.
Yeah. Filtered than this.
Yeah, let's go with filtered.
Yeah. But there were like, yeah, let's talk about maybe some of the things that they weren't showing or maybe things that you wish you would have seen, because yeah, I do think this was filtered. Otherwise you would believe that the Lions got everyone they wanted. And maybe to some point that is true. Like it was cool that they were talking about Amon-Ra St. Brown in day two and they ended up getting him on day three, you know, when he's trying to tell Sheila Ford Hamp, like, don't worry about us not getting a wide receiver. That USC kid's still on the board. And turns out they get him a day later, but they didn't mention a single other draft prospect in this entire video that they didn't draft. Are you going to lead me to believe that there was never a conversation about grabbing someone else?
Of course. No, that's definitely like, again, that's part of the state media.
And
touch.
I would have liked to see that because like, even, I think even in the first round, they said like there was a reference to two people they would have liked. One mm-hmm. being Panay Sewell, the other being, I don't know. And would it really hurt the Lions' reputation that much if they had just revealed that person? I mean, if that person goes on to be, you know, a Hall of Famer and Panay Sewell sucks or whatever, maybe someone links that and they look bad or whatever. But to me, I wish there would have been a little bit more transparency there in terms of players that they were also considering and even more specifically trades. You know, I like trade talk. They referenced a couple trades. And, you know, in the first round, they were talking about maybe a trade up. It seemed like they were never serious about a trade down. And then I guess the thing that might, I mean, it feeds into my anxiety that I already had a little bit about Brad Holmes is like, I don't think they took any trade down offers that seriously. There was a point when they were about to draft Melifonwu at 101 and Brad Holmes is on the phone with presumably Jacksonville at 130. He says, trade down to 130. And what do you guys remember what the next words were out of Dan Campbell's mouth?
No.
Tell him two first rounds. Two future firsts.
Hey, I like the balls on this guy. I like the cut of his jib. Yeah.
In other words, right. No thank you. I want to stay where I'm at. And I'm just like, well, I mean, at least have a real conversation. Come on.
Well, we're about to have a real conversation coming up right here in a couple minutes because it's time for ListCast. How excited are you, Ryan?
It is 10:30 p.m. the night before Christmas.
Okay. That's very specific.
If you know, you know. Very.
If you know, you know. We'll be right back on the Pride of Detroit PODcast.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome back to the Pride of Detroit PODcast. It's ListCast time. Let's do it. Let's finally do it. Oh my God, I cannot tell you how long I have been waiting. We had another ListCast during the break that I don't even know if that one will make it into the scraps because it was painful. It was painful to put together, like the worst thing. But that's just a reminder. You can join us on twitch.tv/Pride of Detroit for the full experience of our pain, agony of being the most reviewed Lions podcast. We bring you everything you want, man. We do. And some things you don't want. It's ListCast season. Since we have implemented this from a few years ago, we have a system where we poll the Pride of Detroit staff, writers and friends who have joined the podcast. Some who haven't. We compile them as a composite. Myself, Jeremy, Ryan, we have our own rankings and we'll talk maybe about our own rankings a little bit. But we try to do the entire POD staff and let them have their say. And it creates some strife and it creates some discourse. Let's talk about, though, as we always do before we get into the top 10, the guys who didn't make it. Some guys got some points depending on where they landed on these lists. But some people were alone in their charges, like, say, Hamza, who had Amari Cooper at 6, who did not make this list at all. Or myself with Keenan Allen, who I was the only one standing on those ramparts for Keenan Allen.
I thought about Keenan Allen and then I'm like, you know what? I think Terry McLaurin is going to be the new Keenan Allen. And I almost put Terry McLaurin on my list, but he's not quite there yet. He needs to
prove some young guys on this list. I think Chris Godwin, I want to talk about Chris Godwin a second because I see he fell out of the top 10, but like Chris Godwin, very exciting. I think AJ Brown, not to spoil this, AJ Brown's another one of those young wide receivers that's turning a lot of heads. But I want to talk about one in particular that didn't make our list, Jeremy. Well, which one did you have circled? Because I think you were looking up if he was in our top 10 last year.
Okay, well, yeah, we were talking during the break. Kenny Galladay did not make this list. In fact, I was the only one to vote for him as a top 10 receiver. He was 10 on my list, and I found that interesting.
He's no longer a Lion and we're doing this?
Well, there's a couple things that might be working against him. There has become this narrative in Detroit that, you know, he didn't get any separation, therefore he's trash. There's the fact that he got injured last year. So if you're trying to create this list based on 2020 stats, he's not going to be up there. And yeah, there's the fact that he's no longer a Lion, and I think that hurts him too. But I mean, that's not to say there aren't arguments that he's not a top 10 wide receiver. I just think, you know, I think we had this discussion last year, and I don't remember if he made our list or not, but, I know there were a couple of us that were saying, like, he's there. He just needs to, you know, put together a couple seasons. And to be fair, he hasn't strung together like multiple seasons of doing it. I just think if we're talking skill wise, if we're talking, and that's the thing that we need to make sure everyone realizes, this is supposed to be, in a vacuum, just based on pure talent, not how we think they're going to do this year, not based on quarterback play, not based on what scheme they're in. It's just based on pure talent. And I think Kenny Galladay, pure talent wise, is a top 10 wide receiver, but just barely. And so it doesn't surprise me that he didn't make the list at all.
Yeah, I mean, he hurt not playing this. This was the big year for him. We didn't really see how he played. So I think he's still an unknown factor for us.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't want to say having Amari Cooper or Keenan Allen on the list, or, you know, some of the guys like Kenny Galladay in the top 10. Like, there's so much variance that happens throughout the course of a season. Like, of course, some of this stuff is going to make us look goofy, right? Like, having one of these guys on our list is going to be like, how did you not have X wide receiver on your list of top 10? He went and balled out. So like I would. When all of us submitted our top 10 list, there was nobody who included anybody on a list where I was like, how would you ever include them in the top 10?
Right.
You know,
was there any other names we should cover? I mentioned Chris Godwin. DK Metcalf came in at 13. I think he and Godwin, three different, like, for both of those guys, three different people had them on their polls, and they just didn't. Those are the only two with more than like two voters who just didn't make the list.
I mean, I was pretty surprised that DK Metcalf didn't make the list.
Really?
I had him, what, eighth, I think? I mean,
you did.
Two seasons of very productive football. A 900-yard season and a 1,300-yard season with 10 touchdowns last year. I know he started his career as kind of like a meme. You know, like, he's just like this super buff dude with just like a ridiculous body type and ridiculous claims that he's Megatron, and I'm not claiming that, but like, he's backed it up. That dude is, what, 23 years old, and I think he's already proved it. I think he's going to continue to prove it. I'm surprised he didn't make it.
I'm mostly just worried because I've seen this happen with guys. And again, we're doing this talent wise, not scheme. But when I look at a Seahawks receiver, I do have to wonder how much is their skill and then who's just the recipient at the moment for Russell Wilson. And that's kind of how I've regarded Metcalf. Like, yeah, he's had a decent receiver. I look a lot at catch percentage. I want to see guys who have sure hands, and I think we'll talk about this later, but he was like, his first year it was 58%, his second year it's only 64%. That kind of hurts me, regardless of how many yards you have. Like, yeah, Yak will probably come into play, but I like to see guys who have sure hands too.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm probably going to end up contradicting myself in this list, but for me, the reason why a guy like Chris Godwin still made my list is not just because I've kind of meed myself into it, but because he's a guy who plays in both the slot and outside. So, like, that kind of versatility is something that I look at and be like, hey, like, this guy can play all over the field. He's a threat. When it comes to Chris Godwin, I had all my stats pulled up and ready to go. So I have to say that he spent the exact same amount of time in the slot and out wide in his NFL career. So, like, those are the kind of guys that I really appreciate.
Yeah, we all have different criteria. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah. And yeah, really quick before we should probably jump into the top 10.
I was about to.
Yeah, I do think, and there's kind of been this ongoing argument internally about who's the best receiver for the Buccaneers. And it seems like maybe they split the vote a little bit because Mike Evans and Chris Godwin finished 11th and 12th on our list.
Yeah, I need to call out Jerry Mallory for putting Mike Evans at fifth and screwing like everything up here.
I mean, it didn't, though. He ended up staying outside the top 10. So,
oh, that's fair. That's fair. All right. But yeah, let's start. Number 10 we have on our list is drumroll for your new number one man, I think, in Atlanta, Calvin Ridley. Julio Jones is out of the building now, but Calvin Ridley very quietly has been very productive. And I think, again, we're looking at just talent, but it's hard to, like, even with Julio Jones there opposite him, like, the talent was on display last year. He kind of came into his own. 1,300 yards receiving. Not as great on catch percentage that year, but close to around 70% in years prior. And I think Pro Football Focus grade for Calvin Ridley had him at 11 last year, 84.9, tied with Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I have to mention my favorite Calvin Ridley stat because he just finished outside my list. I hem-hawed, like, he was right there at like number 10 for a while. But my favorite Calvin Ridley stat is he led the league last year in total 15 plus yard receptions. He had 40 of them. So, I mean, you think about all of the other names that are going to be up on this list. Calvin Ridley led all of the receivers last year in 15 plus yard catches. So, I mean, that's a pretty big stat, especially when he had 40 of them.
Yeah. He didn't make my list either, but yeah, he was right on the edge there. He proved last year he could be a number one receiver, right? Like, that was the question. Could he eventually take over that number one role? And with Julio injured most of the season, he did. And he almost 1,400 yards, almost doubled his career yardage after, 2000, and had good rookie and second season before that, 820 yards, mm-hmm. 866. 10 touchdowns his rookie season, 7-9. So he's been consistently that red zone threat, big play threat. I still want to see a little bit more before he makes my top list, but he can certainly do it this year, right? Like, if he does it again in a full offseason where he's being groomed as the number one, he has a chance to really cement himself as maybe even a top five guy.
And especially when he's got Kyle Pitts.
You had to.
I think I'm the only one on this podcast who had Calvin Ridley in my top 10. I think I had him at 6.
Yep.
Which just shows kind of the variance that Ryan was talking about. We're all kind of, it's all over the board here. Where you make the top 10 for you guys. So let's go on to number 9. Now, this guy wasn't in my top 10, so it's my turn to kind of doubt him a bit. But I know a lot of other people, I think he was on the top 10 for everyone except for myself. Jeremy, you didn't have him in your top 10 either. Neither did, I believe, Jerry Mallory. But Saints receiver Michael Thomas makes it in at number 9, just by a single point above Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to do a mea culpa here. Like, it's not that I completely forgot him, but I think if I would put another 3 hours into this, I think I probably would have put Michael Thomas on the list because he's one of these guys that's just, I feel like he fell off all of our radars because of a injury last year, didn't play much. This was a guy who was probably a top 5 on our list last year. And there always is the question, especially in New Orleans, like, is he just getting a ridiculous amount of targets and that's why he has so many yards? And in some cases, the answer is yes. I mean, he had 149 catches last year, which is a ridiculous number. No, anything over 100 is a lot.
2 years ago, right?
2 years ago, yes. Sorry, 1999. Yeah.
I was going to say 2019, that was an insane amount. But like even before that, almost 150 in 2017 and 2018 each.
Yeah.
So like that's why I didn't have him in my top 10. I just saw him as like a scheme product. And like, he's a great screen product. He's a great screen product. Let's not get it wrong. But
you also have to consider a guy who's getting targeted that much is getting double covered. He's the focus of the defense, and he's still putting up ridiculous numbers. So he absolutely deserves to be on this list.
He blew the doors off. He blew the doors off in 2019 with over 108 yards per game average. I just don't see that kind of production going forward out of him. But Ryan, maybe you can find the upside on him since both of us didn't have him in our top 10.
I think he's just one of those guys who you can make all the jokes you want about how many slant routes he's going to run and how many catches he's going to make near the line of scrimmage to inflate that reception total. But There's a skill in that. Like, there's a skill in being able to catch those passes even when you're, as Jeremy just mentioned, like, you're being schemed up where guys are probably double covering you. They're putting a guy over the top because it's not like Michael Thomas is just a one trick pony. But he's obviously not going to get the same love that some of those other deep threats are going to get, like Julio Jones or, guys who can really stretch the field But I think that there's value in Michael Thomas's ability to make contested catches, because I think right there at the line of scrimmage, that's when cornerbacks are able to put their hands all over you. And Michael Thomas is able to fight that off and make the catch. And, you know, as Chris mentioned, I think there's some recency bias, too, just because Thomas had an injured season in 2020 and missed a lot of time and obviously was without Drew Brees. But we'll see how he can do with Jameis Winston. And I know we're supposed to do this in a vacuum, but that's, I don't know how, if that's going to do wonders for Michael Thomas.
I think if you're a good enough receiver, you can overcome your quarterback sometimes. Like one of the guys was later on our list. We will absolutely talk about that because he's prime example or number one of that. Yeah.
Poor guy.
But you mentioned Julio Jones. He is our number eight receiver. He is on this list at number eight. The old man still going strong now in Tennessee. We'll have to see how he does, you know, opposite AJ Brown. That might take some, you know, receptions away from him. People still love Julio Jones. I thought maybe, you know, he'd be a little lower just because like he might, just because of the age, because of the change from Atlanta, but he's our number eight receiver.
Yeah. I think this is a good spot for him in the countdown. I had him at seven. But yeah, he's 32. He's going to be in a new place, which is always an adjustment. And, you know, maybe not as much for wide receiver. I think wide receivers can kind of really succeed wherever they go. But even in his injured season, he had what, like 700, 800 yards, 771. The dude is he's a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
At this point, I don't really have a reason to believe he's going to slow down unless the injury bug sticks with him. But never really been a huge problem in his career. I think he's going to bounce back in a big way. And I still think he's the big play threat that he's always been. He'll slow down eventually, but wide receivers can, especially of the large variety, can stick around for a while. And I think he will.
Yeah, he's definitely up there as like one of the best receivers of all time. And I know maybe that kind of pushes him onto this list. But if there's a guy who has anything to prove this season, it's going to be Julio in Tennessee. And yeah, I mean, he's just one of those, he's one of those elite talents that once he's going to be gone, like you're going to be looking for somebody to fill that void. Like it's like kind of like the Calvin Johnson effect. Like once Calvin was gone, it was like, who's making those highlight reel catches, you know, when he's double, triple covered and, you know, 25, 30 yards down the field. Well, that became Julio Jones. Like once Julio Jones goes away, who's going to be Julio Jones?
Calvin Ridley.
Oh, Bold.
That's why he's our number 10. All right. Number seven, newcomer to the list. I can't believe we're doing a sophomore on this list, but he balled out on his rookie year. I almost considered giving votes to both Minnesota Vikings receivers, but Justin Jefferson comes in at number seven. And I can't think of a guy who's like that was an insane rookie year that he had. To do that with, you know, opposite Adam Thielen, like, yeah, it'll be impressive to see what, you know, what they can do in with him in Minnesota. But I mean, just going down the list here on Justin Jefferson, excuse me, as I stumble a little bit, but like a rookie getting 1400 yards receiving at a 70% catch rate. Again, I like catch rate. Yards per game, 87. And I believe he was PFF's second highest graded wide receiver last year at 90.4, tied with someone else who's going to appear on our list later. But I mean,
to me, the
holy God,
the statistic that really pops out to me is yards per catch. 15.9. That is a ridiculous number. I mean, we talk about Michael Thomas, you know, just being an example of just getting a ton of targets. You go back to like Michael Thomas's 2018 season, he got 1400 yards on 125 receptions. Julio Jones got to 1400 yards on 88.
Justin Jefferson.
Sorry. What'd I say? Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Those double J's.
Another JJ.
I'll remind you all again that he did that. Like, he wasn't hurt this year, was he? Adam Thielen? I don't think he was. Like,
I don't think so.
No. So, like,
2019 was when he was injured. Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm being adequate. But, like, yeah, no, to do all that when you already have, as a rookie, when you already have another established receiving threat in Minnesota from Adam Thielen, I mean, as we say, independent of scheme, and he definitely proved that.
Most 20 plus yard plays amongst wide receivers tied with Calvin Ridley and Travis Kelce.
Yeah. And I think the thing that's maybe most impressive about Justin Jefferson is there were a lot of questions about why Minnesota was so comfortable moving on from a guy who's going to be on our list a little bit later here in Stephon Diggs. And Justin Jefferson came in and he had just an incredible season. And my favorite stat comes from PFF. Against single coverage, he led the league in yards per target at 13.2. So this is a guy who, you know, just gets downfield and makes big plays.
So this will be a big year for him, though, right? Like, because cat's out of the bag. Not that he was like a complete secret as a first round pick or anything like that. Sure. But he's going to get a heck of a lot more attention this year. And it'll be interesting to see how he rebounds.
Mm-hmm. How he reacts. Yeah. As a reminder, these are all for the year upcoming of 2021. It's not for a full career or where their careers stand right now. Yeah. Just what we think we're going to do in a single season.
Not like a fantasy draft, which is why a guy like Julio Jones, we wouldn't be drafting a 33-year-old receiver.
Yeah, this is also isn't in for fantasy. Like, again, I have to keep teasing for something coming up on why I didn't rate this guy as high. But like some of these guys just won't get you touchdown numbers. That we're looking at other things. We're looking at production from various angles here.
And I would also never participate in a fantasy list. I think that I want to make that clear.
Well, we mentioned Julio Jones, and now it's time to go to the other side of that field there. AJ Brown comes in at number six. Again, another young guy showing up in our top 10, only 2 years of service. Both years is over 1,000 yards receiving. I think he is the man to look out for in Tennessee. Julio will still be good, but I think AJ Brown will be better. And he hasn't even played a full season yet. I think he played like what, 12 games. I'm looking at games started. I'm an idiot. Excuse me. Adequate. But I think AJ Brown, he is tied with Justin Jefferson in PFF grade from last year, 90.4. And yeah.
11 touchdowns too. Fifth most in the NFL last year. I'll be honest. I haven't watched almost any of AJ Brown's game at all. Like, well, Tennessee is just a team I haven't watched.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, to be fair, like, Tennessee is a very balanced offense. So, you know, Derrick Henry is obviously the forefront of the attention there. But yeah, I think AJ Brown is an up and comer. I'm eager to watch more of his game because in doing this research, all I'm seeing is like everyone gushing over him, a high PFF grade, you know, two very promising seasons to start his career. I'm eager to see what he's got, but I'll be honest, I can't say a lot about his game personally because I haven't seen it.
It almost sounds like the kiss of death because you could have replaced AJ Brown with Chris Godwin. So hopefully, knock on wood, AJ Brown stays healthy. But my favorite stat for AJ Brown generated 2.66 yards per route run in his first 2 years. And that's the highest mark PFF has ever recorded of a wide receiver in their first two seasons. Better than Antonio Brown, better than Odell Beckham Jr. You know, Odell Beckham Jr., when he came into the league, he's the highest graded wide receiver rookie of all time, according to PFF standards. So, I mean, you're setting the bar as high as you can, and AJ Brown cleared that. So he's
hurdled it, the hurdle.
Yeah. So AJ Brown's, he's the real deal, man. He's going to be. Don't be surprised if AJ Brown, like, next year for our list is in like top three discussion, and he's not three.
Hot take. We'll keep that one stored in the holster. Clip it. Yep. All right. We've done our bottom five. After the break, we're doing our top five. Let's recap again. Number 10 is Calvin Ridley, your new number one in Atlanta for the Falcons. Number 9 is Michael Thomas with the New Orleans Saints. Number 8 is Julio Jones, now of the Tennessee Titans. Number 7, Justin Jefferson of the, excuse me, I've completely forgot where he plays, Minnesota Vikings. That's right. Minnesota Vikings. And then another Titan at number 6 of AJ Brown. But who will make our top 5? That's next on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. We're continuing our list cast here for wide receivers for the NFL upcoming season in 2021. We've done our bottom five and our honorable mentions, and we move on now to the top five. To recap, however, real quick, honorable mentions for guys who received votes but did not make it: Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, and Kenny Galladay. Now let's remind you where we're at. Number 10 was Calvin Ridley. Number 9 was Michael Thomas. 8 was Julio Jones. 7, Justin Jefferson. Excuse me, I'm stumbling over my tongue at that. Number 8 is AJ Brown. And now number 5, Allen Robinson of the Bears. I think I teased earlier that I said that the point of listcast is independent of scheme, current weapons, coaching, and especially for wide receivers, quarterbacks who are throwing to you. Allen Robinson has proven that it doesn't matter the quality of the quarterback that throws to him, because he has had some god-awful quarterbacks throwing to him between Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky, and he is still balling.
Blake Bortles.
I forgot completely about Blake Bortles.
Yeah. I mean, the poor man has, and maybe, hopefully he still doesn't have a quarterback. No offense to the Chicago Bears.
Knock on wood.
But yeah, I mean, I'm almost frustrated for him, given that, you know, he doesn't have these 1400, 1500 yard seasons where he's putting up double digit touchdowns, except for once in his career. 2015, he had literally 1400 yards, 14 touchdowns. Hasn't had a season anywhere close to that since. But I mean, he's still putting up 1100 yards, 1200 yards, doing a good job, and just looking studly. Like, the dude can catch. He is one of the craziest catch radiuses in the NFL. And if he can just get a quarterback that can put it somewhere near him, so that if he runs to the left, a quarterback can throw it to the left. and maybe that guy is Justin Fields. We'll see. But man, I feel bad for the guy. He deserves better than Chicago. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. And Chris's favorite stat, right? In 2020, he posted a 1% drop rate that ranked third amongst receivers with at least 100 plus targets. So, I mean, and also tied for the most contested catches with 21 in the league. So he had to earn every single one of those receptions. And yep. Allen Robinson, really good. Really, really worried about him and Justin Fields. I'm really concerned about that.
Yeah, I think.
Let's just hope that he gets ever more disgruntled by Chicago just sucking overall. Look, by the time Justin Fields gets good. And then they won't be together.
I feel like you slap a guy with a franchise tag. I know it's not the curse I think we make it out to be sometimes, because it's like, oh my God, they just hit me with a ton of money with the franchise tag. How ungrateful. But at the same time, like, he could be going anywhere right now. He could be going anywhere and people would see the value in him.
Yep.
PFF agrees with us. Allen Robinson was their fifth rated receiver last year at an 88.3 offensive grade. We move on now to number 4 on our list. This is where we're starting to get into the calcified part of where we know the greats are, and it's just a matter of where we're placing them. Number 4 on our list is Tyreek Hill of the Kansas City Chiefs. Jeremy is making a face because I think he wants me to defend something.
No, well, I messed something up on the stream, but yeah, I mean, you had him 9th on your list. Everyone else had him basically 6th.
Excuse me, I had him 10th.
You did. You have 10th on the list. Everyone else had him,
yeah,
I think, 6th or higher. And I mean, he's a unique guy, right? He's not like any of these other. The guys that tend to be on the top of this list are the tall, contested catches guys that are also extremely fast. Tyreek Hill is just an absolute freak when it comes to his speed, and it makes him unguardable. It makes him a nightmare for defenses. And at some point, that's probably going to run out, you know, when he hits a certain age. But dude is still only 27. The dude put up 15 touchdowns, 1,200 yards last year. He's so unique in that you have a field of the best athletes in the world, and he still stands well above them in terms of his speed and his agility and all that stuff. And it's just, I don't like using this term for people, but he's a freak. In terms of he's unmatched by anyone on the field. And that's just crazy to think about when there's so many athletes in this league.
He is a freak. But at the same time, like, I look at hands. I look at being a surefire guy. I don't like drops anymore. and he came in 14th on PFF last year, which I don't know. I started to examine him a little bit closer, and I feel like he is an athletic freak. There is a lot of his form that I feel like it's a crowded list. And I feel like as good as Tyreek Hill is, he's not top five for me. It's just there's other guys with, I think I had Allen Robinson as my number four. And I just think there's other guys who are coming up that can do what Tyreek Hill does, but can also do it with more sure hands.
I mean, I guess that's the part I would push back. And I don't think there is anyone that can. That's what why Tyreek Hill is so unique to me. He might not have the well-rounded game of, you know, the contested catch, but he's so unique in his speed talent that it makes him a matchup nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go so far as to say I remember PFF got memed all oblivion when they tried to say that he was the best deep threat in the history of the NFL. I'm not but willing
you only,
to.
You only had him at seven, Ryan.
Yeah, and I mean, I had him at seven because I'm not calling him a one-trick pony by any means, but I think that in terms of my flavor of wide receiver, they're just guys that I prefer. And we mentioned kind of like some of our personal criteria that we have for you know, putting this list together. But I think when it comes to Tyreek Hill, like, he is incredibly unique, like Jeremy said. I don't think that there's anybody else in the league that can really do what he does. I mean, remember when John Ross came on the scene, everybody was like, oh man, blazing speed, this guy's gonna be a injuries. Like, if you're that fast, like, injuries catch up to you. And that's the one thing about Tyreek Hill is that, like, injuries haven't caught up to him. So he's kind of, he's really freakish in that, from that standpoint. But, yeah, he was seventh on my list, but I think, I don't know, like, you get into the top 10 and, like, you're already splitting hairs. So, right, like, right now he's at a position, you know, at number four on our list where, like, I mean, he could just as easily be four. He could just as easily be three. He could be six. Like, I don't know. Like, it's all just wild variance.
Yep. However, there is no variance as we get into our top three, where we all have the same top three. I mean, I'm looking at our own personal list here. We all have the same top three. All of us, I think, had them in different positions, too. But we're going to start with number three here. We are in the top three. Mentioned the Vikings earlier. This man is no longer a Viking, and thank God for that. Stephon Diggs out of Buffalo comes in at number three. I had him, I think, as my number two man. That's just how much I believe in him, but I don't have any more words to explain just how good Stephon Diggs is. He had his most single season yards last year, and there's no sign that he's going to be slowing down short of injury. And what makes him so good for me, again, I just said how much I like catch percentage, how much I like sure hands. 76.5% catch percentage last year. Like, I don't know, while doing over a step back from versus 2019, when I think his yards per reception, Jeremy, was close to like 18, but still just insane. I mean, 18, insane.
Yeah, 18 is a ridiculous number. And
yeah, ridiculous.
I think Buffalo really unlocked his full potential in a way that Minnesota never did. And maybe it was because he was kind of splitting the stage with Adam Thielen in Minnesota. But the thing that I look for when I'm, you know, creating this list is guys that are pure mismatches, guys that have the ability to just completely take over games.
A guy who you're just looking at is like, you're thinking of that coaching staff that week before. It's like, this guy's a problem. What are we going to do?
He's a huge problem. And you look at Stephon Diggs' 2020 season, and it's just ridiculous. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of 16 games. He went over 100 yards. All games but one, he had at least 6 catches. So this guy is consistent week in, week out. And I think a lot of people thought maybe he wasn't consistent because, you know, there was some talk about his an attitude problem and things like that and him being a diva. But he found whatever works in Buffalo, whether it's, you know, his relationship with Josh Allen or whatever. I don't know. Like, I remember clowning him a little bit and saying, like, oh, you don't like Kirk Cousins? Wait until you see Josh Allen. Well, I was wrong. And they found something special together. And he's just, I think we all knew the talent was there in Minnesota, and, you know, we always weren't sure whether it was him or Adam Thielen that was the true number one. But I think those that really watched the games knew it was Stephon Diggs, and he had the potential to have this kind of season. Now that he's the showcase in Buffalo, this dude's arguably, I mean, you could put him anywhere in the top three, and I don't think you'd get a lot of pushback.
Yeah, I kept on moving. When I made my first draft of this list, I had Stephon Diggs in 7 or 8 spot, and then he just steadily kept on moving up my list as I kept on revising it, because Jeremy already mentioned it, but Stephon Diggs has unlocked Josh Allen. Like, it's not the other way around. Like, I understand that it's kind of, they're mutually benefiting from this, but like, you're talking about a guy who was a 52% completion percentage in his first year, 58% his second year, Josh Allen. That's like below league average. And then last year, he's 69.2. I mean, an 11% jump in 1 year. Well, Stephon Diggs showed up and started catching all those contested, you know, balls that Josh Allen's throwing up. Stephon Diggs is coming down with all of them. So it's interesting that, you know, Stephon Diggs goes from being like a really good player in Minnesota to being like an elite. He belongs here at number three, without a doubt.
For sure. Yeah, it's just, I'm glad he's not in the division anymore. Let's just say that. Can't say that about our number two guy, Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers. I have to, Jerry and Eric, who are both not on this podcast, had him as number one. But for everyone else, he was number two. I had Diggs at number two, but Adams was my third. I don't know what else to say about Devontae Adams. He was your highest rated PFF grade last year at 92. He's damn good, and I wish he wasn't, because it means the Lions have to see him every year. 18 touchdowns last year, 98 yards per game, career highs, 77% catch rate. We just talked about it. He's a problem. Yeah. He's a real problem, and he's coming to his own.
Yeah, and those last two stats, you said that the 18 touchdowns and the 98 yards per game, those are both NFL highs last year. So
yeah,
if he would have played all 16 games, he theoretically would have been the yardage leader as well. But yeah, I mean, all I think about when I think of Devontae Adams is listening to Darius Slay talk about Devontae Adams and how unguardable he is right off the snap. The dude's release is ridiculous. And when you're getting that sort of praise from a guy like Darius Slay, and he certainly isn't alone in cornerbacks praising a guy like Devontae Adams, you know he's really, really good. And we've known for years that he's really, really good. And, you know, Green Bay had their issues with their offense in the past. And I know there are probably a lot of Lions fans that think, well, you know, he's throwing Aaron Rodgers. Is he actually that good? He is. There's no question.
Yeah, about even it. Even if it's just Jordan Love throwing to him, maybe the production goes down a little bit, but you're still like with Allen Robinson, Adams will show you why he's a good receiver, regardless of who's throwing to him.
Yep.
Yep. But that's why he's number two on my list and not number one.
Because of the potential of Love.
I think
independent. We're supposed to do it independent, but I mean, it's part of it.
Absolutely. I think with Devontae Adams, again, we're splitting hairs about whether the guy at number one belongs at number two and whether the guy at number two belongs at number one. Devontae Adams, I agree with Jeremy. Like, are you going to find anybody who's better off the line of scrimmage than Devontae Adams? I don't know. No. Probably not. Are you going to be able to find a guy who is as reliable as he is? Maybe not. But I don't know. I think there's one guy that's above him.
And that is our number one Nook himself, Arizona Cardinals DeAndre Hopkins. A dead heat, but yeah, all three of us on this podcast, plus Hamza Bakush and John Whitaker, all have him at number one. I don't know what else to, like, if you don't know Hopkins by now, it's Hopkins. Like, the piece de resistance was catching that Hail Mary last year. Like, just
God, I forgot about it. Only last year?
Yeah, that was last year. That was last year. That Hail Mary. But we've always known Hopkins is fantastic. We've all known that with a quarterback now in his second year, with him more comfortable in Arizona, sky's the limit for DeAndre Hopkins. And that's why I put him number one for the upcoming year of 2021.
Yeah, for me, I mean, if you look at everyone else on this list, there are some questions. Like Davante Adams, he's had some injuries that he's had to fight through. Stephon Diggs, you know, we're probably splitting hairs over here, but like he's only had one good year in Buffalo. Will he continue? Maybe get more attention. Point being, DeAndre Hopkins is the most proven guy on this list who has not shown any sign of decline. The dude has gone over 1,500 yards twice. He's gone over 1,400 yards three times. He's been to the Pro Bowl four straight years, five out of the last six. He's been an All-Pro three out of the past 4 years. This guy is proven. This guy has been a top three receiver for the past 4 or 5 years. And like I said, no signs of slowing. Now he's under a new quarterback and should be even playing even better. The dude is just a highlight reel machine. And it's not just that. It's not just making highlight reel. Like, he's bringing it every week. He's making the routine catches. He's making yards after the catch. He literally does everything. And he does the highlight stuff, which is also really fun from watching from afar. So this wasn't that close for me. I think DeAndre Hopkins is still clearly the number one receiver in this league.
Ryan Mallett, TJ Yates, Tom Savage, Brock Osweiler. The list of quarterbacks that DeAndre Hopkins had to deal with in Houston. And then
yeah, I know I forgot Watson on there. I know I forgot Watson on there, damn. But, I mean, still.
Yeah.
To your point.
Yeah. Here's the thing. So, like, in Cliff Kingsbury's offense, this is something I saw Robert Mays, talk about. And some other people, but it's this offense where there's a ton of wide receiver screens. So like he got a lot of catches that were like right at the line of scrimmage, but he tied the season leader for most broken tackles at the position with 21. But just the most insane stat, like this is just DeAndre Hopkins to a T, 14 catches within a yard of the sideline. In 2020, most in the NFL, extending his lead in that metric since entering the league to 26. He has 71 total, 71 catches within a yard of the sideline, a 0.9% drop rate, lowest mark among those with at least 100 targets in 2020. DeAndre Hopkins is really freaking good, and because he doesn't feel like he's in Calvin Johnson air. It doesn't feel like he's in Julio Jones air. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like DeAndre Hopkins gets that same rub.
I have a theory. I have a theory for that.
What's that?
Houston. No one cares about Houston. Nobody effing cares about Houston.
No one cares about Detroit, right? Like,
yeah, but like,
I think part of it is just Calvin. I don't feel like Calvin had a lot of competition. Like, I think we're in a really good era of wide receivers right now, and maybe DeAndre Hopkins gets a little bit lost in the scuffle there. Calvin Johnson, I mean, yeah, he wasn't, the receiving leader every year, but, like, it was clear he was a ridiculous talent in terms of just, like, his physical attributes and things like that. But, yeah, I don't know. That is a really good point. I mean, if DeAndre Hopkins were to retire in training camp, I'd probably call him a Hall of Famer still.
Has to be.
Yeah, no, I think he is. Like, it's, and I think we all agree for 2021, short of injury, he's going to just ball the bleep out.
I also want to go back to your point about the quarterbacks, because I wanted to jump in. One of his best seasons, 1,500 yards. His quarterbacks were, for 11 games, Brian Hoyer, for 4 games, Ryan Mallett, for 2 games, TJ Yates, and for 1 game, Brandon Whedon. What? And he turned that into 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Oh my god. Like, what? Just psychotic stuff, man. Yeah. I know. I think it is worth asking if it is an upgrade or a downgrade if between him and Watson. I think it's an upgrade going from Watson, but I also don't think as highly of Watson as maybe some other people. I think we've turned Watson into a bit of a unicorn there. But again, I don't need to look at the quarterback when it comes to Nook. I don't need to look at the quarterback. The guy is fantastic.
Yeah. And also, one of the most underrated moves of the offseason, I think, was, and I know this isn't really dependent upon our list, but like the Cardinals getting AJ Green, like AJ Green and DeAndre Hopkins. That's going to be quite the duo.
That will be. So that is our top 10. Do we need to refresh it again?
Sure, we'll reset it one time number for the 10. People that somehow listen to the end of the podcast.
I need a big voice. I need a big voice to go like, number 10. Number 10, Calvin Ridley. Number 9, Michael Thomas. New Orleans Saints, Calvin Ridley from the Falcons. Number 8, Julio Jones, Tennessee Titans. Number 7, Justin Jefferson, Minnesota Vikings. Number 6, AJ Brown, Tennessee Titans. Number 5, Allen Robinson, the Chicago Bears. Number 4, Tyreek Hill, Kansas City Chiefs. I'm losing my voice. Number 3, Stephon Diggs, Buffalo Bills. Did I say AJ Brown wrong?
No,
I didn't. Okay. Twitch chat threw me off. Number 2, Devontae Adams. Cheeseheads, screw them. Number 1, DeAndre Hopkins, Arizona Cardinals.
Well,
that is our first guy.
I didn't think you were going to commit to that bit all the way through. I'm impressed.
I always commit.
I love going back to explain number 10. Calvin Ridley belongs to the Atlanta Falcons after you made the decision at number 9 to start listing team names.
Which chat is saying I accidentally said number 3 for AJ Brown.
Well,
probably because. Yeah.
Nobody's adequate. Perfect.
Six adequate. Is divisible by 3. So technically.
Yeah, it is. It's a power. Perfect. Yeah. All right. We done? We're done.
Really quick, can we say like how much it sucks to have a bunch of really good receivers in the NFC North?
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
But we got the best corner, so.
Do we?
Jeff Okuda, we trust, baby.
Top 10 cornerback.
I thought I had to break the news to Jeremy that Darius Slay no longer plays on this team.
Yeah. He's washed anyways.
Oh, wow. Listen to you.
Oh,
wow. He's taking his victory lap. All right. We're out of here. Download the podcast. Listen. And by all means, we love all of you. ListCast continues next week. What do we have up next week for ListCast, Jeremy?
That's a great question that I was not prepared for the answer.
Edge rushers.
Edge defenders. That's right. We're going to do edge defenders, then running backs, then cornerbacks, then tight ends, and then we bookended, adequate, quarterbacks. We save the best for last. We save the scub for the last one, because that's what we do. That's what we are. We are Pride of Detroit. I'm Chris Perfett. He's Jeremy Reisman. That's Ryan Matthews. And as always, we'll see you star side.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.